Here we go. It's that time again. It's time for another edition of the 2-2 Podcast. Listen, I'm so glad and grateful you could join me today. We're continuing our series called Mixtape with a message you do not want to miss. So you know the move. Grab your friends. Grab your family. Grab your coworkers. Grab those people you don't like. Don't forget your notebook, your iPad, your laptop. Whatever you need to take notes. This one's going to be a good one today. See you in a minute. Well, good Tuesday, everybody. Good afternoon and welcome to today's 2-2 Podcast episode. First and foremost, before we get into today's talk, I want to thank all of you for your support of this series, the mixtape series, but also your support of this past Thursday's episode entitled Pride is the Devil. It gave me an opportunity to really talk and discuss, be a little transparent about my own story, about how, you know, pride will oftentimes hold us back from growing and maturing and healing from some things in our own lives. And so, again, thank you for your support. I encourage you, if you have not listened to this past Thursday's episode, to please take a little bit of time after you listen to this one, of course, and listen to this past Thursday's episode. And be sure to pass it along to somebody that might need it, because you never know what somebody's going through at the moment. So again, thank you for your support of this series and this past Thursday's episode. But also importantly, thank you for your continued support of the 2-2 Podcast. I can't thank you enough for your support and love each and every week. So again, thank you. Hey, if it's your first time or your first time in a long time, welcome and welcome back. I pray that in these next few moments, I speak to your storm, speak to your struggle, speak to your situation. I strive to be three things in life and on this show, and that is authentic, transparent, and informal. And I pray within those three pillars of my life and this show that I say something that energizes you, that supercharges you, that encourages you, that affirms you, that causes you to say enough is enough, that causes you to say I'm going to break every chain that I've been bound by, that causes you to say that I'm going to break every generational curse that has been in my bloodline. And I promise to, and I'll tell you this, I promise and I strive to be this all the time. And say this with me if you've been with me for as long as I've been saying it. I'm like Anita Baker. I'm going to give you the best that I got at all times. So again, if it's your first time, your first time in a long time, welcome and welcome back. All right, let's get rolling. So again, as you heard at the beginning of the show, in the intro to be exact, we are continuing our mixtape series. We are on fourth installment, or let's put it in music terms, we're on the fourth track of this mixtape. And it's time to talk briefly about conflict. Conflict resolution. Confrontation. We find ourselves oftentimes deeply involved in confrontation and conflict. We see it within, we see it in our world, we see it on the news, we see it in our neighborhoods, we see it in our cities. Heck, let's even go even further. We see it in our families, but if we can go even deeper, we often deal with conflict with ourselves. Sometimes the most brutal battles that we deal with is the battle with ourselves. Write that down. It's not always the battle with other people. Sometimes the most brutal and damaging conflicts are the battles with ourselves. And so for a little bit, I wanted to talk about conflict resolution. This episode is titled Bad Blood. Now, I could have gone two ways. And in some way, shape, or form today, I will go two ways. But one of my favorite songs is by Bastille. It's called Bad Blood. And the chorus is, all this bad blood here, won't you let it dry? It's been old for years, won't you let it lie? And so many times in our lives, we have a problem with conflict management and conflict resolution. Allow me to be transparent for just a minute. One of my biggest problems growing up, and if you don't know, if you know me personally, y'all, and you've seen me in person, you've seen me in a picture, I am, I'm not going to say vertically challenged because, you know, whatever. God made me this size, and at 32 years old, I am just fine with my height and what I look like. I'm just fine. But there was a period and point in my life where I had an issue with people talking about my height. I had an issue with it. And so the minute somebody would say something, I would just go off. I would go off. I would hold on to it. It would be an ongoing confrontation. It would be an ongoing, you know, I just have beef with that person for talking about me. Just, what was the point? Why did you need to say that? Was that necessary? I mean, what exactly was the point in you saying that? And I would give people hell for saying that. I had a problem with what my pastor says. And he said this in a service one time, and I always keep this in my phone, and I have to remind myself every time, anytime there's a conflict or that's brewing, or there's an argument that may brew, or there's something that might happen, I have to understand this question and ask myself this question: that is this a problem to be solved or a tension to be managed? Problem to be solved or a tension to be managed? I have to ask myself that question. Do I really need to solve this problem, or do I just have to just go, you know what, you can feel any way you want to feel. I'm going to, on my end of this, I'm no longer going to entertain it. How do you manage? I want to ask a question. How do you manage conflict? How do you manage confrontation? How do you manage tension between two people? Matter of fact, let's go deeper. How do you manage tension within yourself when you keep telling you that you can't do something, and you keep telling you when you can't, you'll never be something, and you keep fighting with you when it comes to growth and progression and healing, and when you keep fighting you when it involves breaking an addiction or breaking a generational curse, when you keep telling yourself that this is the only way you feel whole, that tension between you and the inner me, and the inner me that can be the enemy. Nobody can hate you more than you can hate you. And so for a little bit, I know, you know, that intro and that, you know, this intro to that was a little bit long, but today we're going to talk about the style, the types of conflict resolution. But before we go any further, let's talk about the definition of the word conflict and the definition of the word confrontation. They're similar, of course. Here's two of them. The first one is a noun, of course, and y'all know I like definitions. Is a serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one. A serious disagreement or argument, typically a protracted one. A squabble, a dispute, a quarrel, to be exact. Another definition is an incompatible or at a variance. To be incompatible or at a variance. You know, for example, sometimes two people, when they're in a discussion over, you know, when they're in a contractual discussion, there's going to be some type of clash about the interests of one person and the interests of another. When we get in relationships, there's a clash sometimes between the interests of one and the interests of another. Well, there's that disagreement at times. There's going to be that time where you've butt heads. You're going to deal with that in a lot of friendships and relationships, and even in your family, where one person doesn't agree with what you're doing and you want to keep doing it. And no matter in some cases how debilitating and damaging it can be, sometimes when we feel that it is the right thing to do, vainly think that it's the right things to do, we will butt heads with people that try to hold us accountable. Sometimes we accuse accountability with somebody hating on us, somebody wanting to, you know, stop our shine, stop our grind, and stop what we're doing. And yes, some people mask hatred with accountability. That's not to say that is not the case. We do have plenty of cases. We have plenty of times in our lives where we have people who mask hatred with accountability. But we have to be able to learn how to decipher when people are keeping us in line and telling us, hey, you know, you may think this is right. You may think this is the way to go. You may think this is something that you should do. You may think this is going to fulfill you, sustain you, make you feel all right. I encourage you, and I want to let you know that I've been down that road, and it's not the right way to go. And so, but you got to learn that. But here's the definition. We just read the definition of conflict, but let's read the definition of confrontation as we talk about the confrontation styles. All right. So confrontation is a hostile or argumentative meeting or situation between opposing parties. A hostile or argumentative meeting between opposing parties. A situation between opposing parties. A lot of our rivalries. Of course, I'm in Columbus, Ohio. And one of the rivalries here is Ohio State. And I ain't gonna say their name, but that team up north, I know my friend out in Michigan is out there freaking out. Yeah, she gonna get mad. Any team up north fans, y'all know what's up. Anyway, go Bucks. but you know, that's a confrontation. That's a rivalry. That's a dust up. That's gonna be a dust up. You know, it's gonna be some bad blood between the two. That has been brewing for a long time. Rivalries between, I'm a soccer fan, a Columbus Crew fan. So that team down in, that team down south, we'll rock with them as well. I'm not throwing any shade at them, because if there are any, FC Cincy fans listening to the show, this is not shade. This is just an example of confrontations and rivalries that have been brewing for such a long time. But let's talk about those confrontations and those dust-ups we have amongst each other. Let's talk about the confrontation styles. And so there are five of them. Five styles of conflict resolution. Here are the conflict styles. Starts off with this. Avoiding the conflict. Giving in is the second. Standing your ground. Compromising. And collaborating. Another word for that standing your ground style is competing. Competition. Competition. We find ourselves in places where we should collaborate instead of compete. We have to understand that everybody's not going to agree with us at all times. No, not everybody. Everybody's not going to agree with us. That's what makes us different. We're not always going to agree. But sometimes within our differences, we have to learn. We have to learn how to go, listen, I may do this differently than you do, but we're not going to fight about this. We're not going to fight about this. We're going to come together. We're going to unify. We're going to learn about each other. We're going to grow with each other. We're going to make each other better. But sometimes it's so hard when our ego and our pride is in the way. Allow me to be transparent. Sometimes my pride caused me to ruin some relationships and some opportunities where collaboration should have been key, and collaboration should have been the main goal instead of competing with somebody based on the fact that they're impeding on any progress that I made, or that somebody's going to like their idea a lot better than mine. I found myself broiled and in within one-sided confrontations. Show of hands. I know you can't see me and I can't see you, but just let's do this thing. For the sake of this message, how many people have found themselves in one-sided confrontations? I know I can't be the only one that has found myself in a one-sided confrontation, where you competing with somebody that doesn't know you competing with them. Or better yet, have you been on the other side of that, where you have been involved in a one-sided confrontation where somebody was competing with you and you didn't realize that they were competing with you, but you're not competing with them. You're not even thinking about that. The thing that you're thinking about is, we need to come together and get this done. And all ideas are welcome. All forms of positive collaboration are welcome. But there's always going to be that one person that doesn't want that ain't about that life. They're not here for that. They're not trying to collaborate. They want to be the only person whose idea gets a little love, gets spotlight, gets the big money, that gets the recognition, the notoriety. They're the only one that wants to get it. They don't care about anybody else's idea. They only care about theirs. And what theirs can do. Not anybody else's. Not what theirs combined with somebody else's can do. There will always be somebody that has that mindset. And so what they will do is they will do everything they can to compete and sabotage and make other people and belittle other people's ideas and make them feel bad and make them feel horrible and make them want to quit and leave. So they're the only one standing, the last man standing, the last woman standing. That's how some people think. I wanted to talk about that stand your ground, the competitive part of conflict styles. I wanted to talk about that one first, because we find ourselves in that place. I know I have. And I had to learn in some ways, shapes and forms, that everything is not like playing a sport. There are some places where you have to compete, but there are some places where you have to learn how to come together. You have to learn how to be coachable in this season. What does that mean to be coachable? To be able to go, listen, I'm gonna hear everything you have to say. I'm gonna incorporate it in whatever you need to tell me. I'm gonna incorporate it. I'm gonna try to make myself better. I'm gonna try to listen to every bit of instruction possible, because I feel that that I need to add on to something. I had to learn the value of being coachable and not a person that wants to clash with the person that tries to give me a piece of advice, and not get offended when somebody tells me, hey, you're doing this, but let's do this. I had a situation as of recent where I was coaching a guy, a new guy, and I was telling him, hey, you know, boom, 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 let's, you know, this time try not to hit the ball down. You know, try to, you know, keep that arm straight. Keep your arm, when you're hitting your backhand, keep your arms straight until you get to the foul, to the finish. And I was trying to tell him that. And in some way, shape, or in a little way, he was a bit combative, and he was telling me, oh, well, you know, this. He was giving me excuses. And I was just like, you know, hey, you know, just trying to help out. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, you know, that was me at one point. You know, I was a bit irritated at the situation, but I had to, you know, calm down and go, listen. That was me at one point. Put yourself in that man's place. There are some people that aren't willing to be coachable at all times. It's going to happen. You're going to deal with that. But when it all comes down to it, you have to learn the value of going, you know what? If somebody gives it to me, I'm going to try to incorporate that piece. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it does work, at least I tried it. At least I listened. If it doesn't work for me, it is what it is. But I tried. I know that, you know, so it may or may not sound weird to some people, but you have to learn how to be coachable. You can't clash with everybody. You can't. So I wanted to talk about that one first, collaboration as well. But let's talk about the other ones, because you may not have heard about the other styles of conflict management. And here we go. Avoiding the conflict. This is me. This is the part of me right here that I really had to take the time to learn how to avoid conflict. Okay? I had to learn when somebody starts getting a little belligerent, a little bit of an attitude, when they start raising their voice, just going, you know what? I'm going to walk away. You have to know when to, you know, Kenny Rogers said it. You know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away. There we go. And know when to run. I've had to learn the value. To learn the value of walking away when it seems like a conflict is about to happen. When somebody feels like they want to just go off. When it sounds like beef is going to be a beef at some point. I had to learn the value of walking away. Because I had to learn the value. Is this a tension to be managed? Or is it a problem to be solved? And the problem being solved. How to solve the problem sometimes is walking away from the conflict. Everything doesn't deserve your energy. It doesn't deserve your words. It doesn't deserve what your opinion. It doesn't deserve. It doesn't deserve your rebuttal. Heard Drake say this, that there are some people that can't reciprocate your energy. So don't put your energy into this conflict. Don't put your energy into saying something to somebody just because they said something to you. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth my time anymore. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to learn when to run. Avoiding conflict was a problem that I had. Because I was a ticking time. I was a ticking time bomb. And it may have been because I was holding on to some things in my own life that caused me, you know, to, you know, anytime somebody said something, I'd be ready to wring their neck. I'd be ready to choke them out. I'd be ready to punch them in the face. I'd be ready to cuss them out. And now, because I'm in a period in my life where healing is key in my progression, walking away is a part of that healing process. Walking away from people, walking away from situations that do more harm than good, that I know will do more harm than good. Learning to walk away. Here's another conflict style. Giving in. And here's this part. I'm going to read this part. This is from the University of Notre Dame. This is NotreDameOnline.com if you want to take a look at it. If you want the link to this particular article, I want you to take, I want you to follow me on the social media tags that you'll get at the end of this episode. But giving in, and this is what it says on NotreDameOnline.com. Giving in or accommodating the other party requires a lot of cooperation and little courage. Basically, you agree to accommodate the other party by acknowledging, accepting his point of view, his or her point of view or suggestion. The style may be viewed as letting the other party have its way. While the style can lead to making peace and moving forward, it can also lead to the accommodator feeling resentment toward the other party. When you, long story short, it's when you just go, all right, that's it. You know, forget it. Do what you want. Do what you want. I believe there's a difference between avoiding and giving in. That goes without being, goes without saying. Because when you avoid it, you're not about to argue about the situation. You're not about to give in. You're not going to give in, but you're not going to, you listen, you're not going to argue at the same time. You're going to avoid. It's not worth it. I'm not going to argue, but I'm not going to give in at the same time. I'm going to walk away before this gets ugly. I know you've been there in that place before where you've given in. We're not going to get too deep into it. But you've been in some relationships where somebody has asked you over and over and over and over and over again about something. And you finally go, all right, forget it. Enough is enough. Go ahead. Whatever. Let's do it. And in the end, you don't feel fulfillment. You feel resentment in this situation. You feel less than after this because, and you feel resentment, not just towards yourself. You feel resentment and bitterness towards that person who just constantly just kept bugging you and nagging you and asking you and asking you, hey, give me, hey, let's do this. Hey, we've been together this long. Hey, we've been friends this long. Hey, can you do this? If you love me, you'll do this. Oh, I said something. Talk to him, Stevens. I think I will. When people try to throw love into the situation just to get you to give them something that they didn't earn. Aha. Then you feel resentment. Has anybody ever felt that way where somebody threw love in the situation to get you to loosen up? Or they threw longevity or history into the mix just to get you to do something that you didn't? And then when they took it from you, you felt resentment and bitterness toward not only them but yourself, to them for taking it, but to you mostly for giving it to them. I know I'm not the only one here that has ever felt that way. I know there's somebody right now that has felt like they have given something to somebody that they didn't deserve. All because they gave in to the pressure. They gave in to the weight of the question and the request that other people give them. I know you're sitting there thinking, Chris, get out of my head right now, man. What you speaking of my situation? How do I know? Because I'm speaking of my own. Where I had to learn the value of not giving in and not caving in to the pressure. Giving in. The fifth and final confrontation style is compromising. Compromising. And this is also, I'm going to read this piece again, this piece as well, from Notre Dame, the University of Notre Dame, NotreDameOnline.com. Because this really explains, it really explains it in such a great way. Compromising is a big step toward conflict resolution. Both courage and consideration are used when both parties look for common ground. You agree to negotiate larger points and let go of the smaller points. This style expedites the resolution process. Occasionally, the person compromising may use passive-aggressive tactics to mislead the other party. So beware. These passive-aggressive tactics to mislead the other party. When you compromise, when you conform, what is passive-aggressive to be exact? It's in the, you know, love definitions again, but what does it mean to be passive aggressive? It's a of or denoting a type of behavior or personality characterized by indirect resistance to the demands of others and an avoidance of direct confrontation, as in procrastinating, pouting, or misplacing important materials. Does that sound like anybody that's ever been in a confrontation with somebody that's passive aggressive? Or does that sound like you, where you've been passive-aggressive in a situation where you have avoided direct confrontation by procrastinating or pouting or misplacing important materials? I know that's been me. You know, just, you know, being passive aggressive, compromising, sometimes conforming, just so we can finally get this done. I believe compromising and giving in go hand in hand, because at some point you say enough, you know what, we're gonna come to a compromise, we're gonna just do something so everybody's happy. And I put air quotations on happy. Because even within compromise, there's a point where nobody's happy about what happened. We hear about that in contractual agreements. We hear about that with trades. We hear about that with certain situations in sports where compromise was only done so there would be no conflict. Has anybody ever been in a situation where they had to compromise so an argument wouldn't get started? They just had to go and just say, you know what? Okay, let's do this. Let's just do it. Because I don't want to argue. I don't want to fight. I don't have the energy to fight. I don't have the energy to, you know, keep this thing going. So, okay. Let's do what we do. Let's get it done. Let's get it out of the way. I know for a fact that I've been in some places in my life where I have compromised to avoid conflict. I've compromised to avoid conflict, not just with other people, but conflict with myself. Well, I would tell myself, listen, all right, well, I'm not going to do this as much, but I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep thinking this way. I'm going to keep speaking this way. I'm going to keep up with these bad habits. I'm not going to do it as much like I used to. But to avoid that conflict with myself, so I can get rid of it. Because the enemy that's your enemy can oftentimes tell you that that bad habit makes you feel good, or it fulfills you, it makes you whole, it satisfies you. Or that person makes you feel good, and that you should keep it going no matter how toxic it can be. You have to, with compromise, you have to learn how to avoid people who want you to compromise, who want to feed off, who want you, you have to, when it comes to this, you have to avoid people who want to feed off of you. They want you to compromise so they can eat off of you. And it's okay to have people that positively feed off of you, and it helps them grow and helps each other grow. It helps all of us grow. But I'm talking about those people that feed off of you, feed off of you, and feed off of you till there's nothing left. And then they find the next person. I heard Pastor Keon Henderson talk about this in a little snippet from this past Sunday. He talked about how people feed off of us. And when they've eaten, when they've taken everything off of us, they fed off of us and taken everything, they go to the next person and feed off of them until they've filled themselves. They've satisfied themselves. We have to be careful who we come into we compromise with. We have to be careful who we, you know, give into and what we give into. We have to be careful in this season. So I encourage you, as you go into the rest of your week, to really look within yourself and look at the connections that you have and the people that you're around, and ask a few questions. And these questions, as we wrap up, are from blog.hubspot.com. As we talk, is again, this is about 5 conflict management. This one's also about conflict management styles for every personality type, and it tells you to ask a few questions. It asks 3 questions. So as you go into the week, I want you to ask these questions. As you get into some conflicts, or you look at some conflicts that have been going on for a long time with people that you know, or that you've been in with people. The first question being, how much do you value the person or issue? Do you understand the consequences? And do you have the necessary time and energy to contribute? How much do you value the person or issue? Do you understand the consequences? And do you have the necessary time and energy to contribute? Because there's some bad blood that we have with some people that's going on for a long time that we need to let try. It's old. I know we got some people where, as Taylor Swift said, they said, now we got problems. And I don't think, but there's going to be a point in your life where you have to go, listen, as much as there are some problems that won't get solved, I refuse to keep it going. We might have bad blood, but I'd rather not deal with this anymore. We've been going for such a long time, and it's time to let the bad blood dry. So I encourage you, as you go into your week, to please ask those 3 questions and learn the value of conflict management. Hey, listen, thank you for joining the show today. Don't forget to follow the show page and my personal page. The show page is 22_podcast. That is 22_podcast on Instagram. And my personal page at AlexJ_live. That is AlexJ_live. Please don't forget, the 22 podcast has merch. That's on 22apparel.threadless.com. That is 22apparel.threadless.com. See you soon.